I'm going to be fucking English.
Warning. The following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right, well, the Chili Dippers are back and we're off to a good start already. I'm Luke Clark. In front of me, as always, is Dave Rolston. I'm back in the driver's seat today, feeling a lot better. Hangover's gone. How are you feeling today, David?
I feel fine. I'm pissed off. We've just stepped off. Where did we play? I don't even.
Cobram Baruga.
We played Cobram Baruga, and look, I hate that I've had a ordinary day. Luke's had a really good day. Luke's played really well, and I've had a shit day. Nothing went right, did it?
No, I
didn't play that horribly, but I just cost a shot every single hole. So instead of having 83, I had 99, which was shit. And yeah, I rolled a lot of putts. You know, five putts could have dropped that didn't.
Yep.
If I miss it, yeah. You start.
Okay. No, you go. All right, look.
Have we got a beeper?
No, we've got a problem. Right, no. We've got a parental advisory sticker on our thing when you go in there.
Oh, have we?
Though, so you swear your head off. We'll just let people know now that Dave's
one of the words you shouldn't. Because I played like the word that does upset people, and a big, hairy, disgusting one. And I'm. But I won't. I smashed the first straight up the middle.
You did.
You know what happened?
What?
I had that bloody 20-meter chip shot that I just can't play.
Yeah, yeah.
And yesterday when I had 83, that we didn't give any credit to, we just breezed over, but I'm going to mention it now. I never had that shot, but I had it the second shot today, and I skinned it over the back, and I pissed my pants standing over that shot. I fucking hate it. And I can't play it. And it ruined me whole day just because I got it. If I don't hit the green from 100 and X out, I can't play that little 20 or 30 meter chip. Yeah, you go. Sorry.
look. First off, I want to start by saying.
Yeah, we probably skipped a bit.
Yeah. First, I want to start by saying I actually made a bit of an error with my. As you all know, we're trying to play the top 100 golf courses. I actually had Cobram Baruga ticked off as a course I had played. Driving there, I had the course in my head pictured to what it looked like. When we got there, it wasn't the course I had pictured. I didn't realise Cobram Baruga. But I had actually played Cobram Baruga a long, long time ago once I got my bearings in a Holden Scramble. But there's two courses there. One's not ranked.
The West course and the old course.
Yes.
And the old course is ranked, and that's the one we played today.
Today, yes.
The West course, is that the one you played the other day?
That's right. So I've had this ticked off the whole time and actually haven't. So today we actually ticked off a top 100.
Ranked 88 or something?
Yep, ranked 88 in Golf Digest. Golf Australia Magazine's top 100.
But that's funny. Remember we asked the guy in the pro shop, and the pro shop was really good, and the guy in the pro shop was really nice.
Great pro shop. He actually
said the West course, which isn't ranked, is better in his humble opinion, and the old course that is ranked is secondary. But
it was pretty good, the course we played today. I know it's ranked 88, but...
Condition-wise, it was magnificent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
magnificent.
Yeah.
The fairways were carpet the whole way. The greens were really good.
I couldn't imagine that course being better.
Yeah, look, it'd have to be layout-wise and all that sort of stuff, which we wouldn't be smart enough to notice anyway. But for condition, it was absolutely tip-top today.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Bar one tee box.
Yeah, one tee box. But it looked intentional,
though. It was dead.
It looked intentional.
Oh, yeah, they must have been doing something. It was complete.
But made us play off it.
Yeah, completely dead tee box. And now, yeah, but other than that, no. The course was tip-top. Look, if it was ranked 75, 65, it probably wouldn't have been a big surprise. They said it was perfect. But how about the round? How'd you go? How'd you hit them? Tell us how you hit them.
Before we started the round, I said to Rolls, I would like to shoot 90 today. Which the way I've been playing lately was a big call because I haven't been getting anywhere near shooting 90. And look, we got off to a pretty good start. The one thing I did do for the first time ever was shorten my backswing on the drive for the entire round, which anyone that plays with me knows that is my absolute downfall.
You lose your backswing right up the top there when it gets too far back behind your head. You lose it.
Yesterday at Black Bull, I started the last. I didn't hit him well on the last few holes, but I was shortening up, and I thought if I could just fix a few things, and today I actually did. We actually, well, we kept a record of how many fairways I hit. How many did I hit?
You only hit five.
There you go.
I didn't mean that in a disparaging manner.
Five, the numbers tell the story there. I smashed it all day.
Well, I hit five as well and I was horrible.
That's five more than I normally hit. So.
And when you say five, I remember you asking me for like probably at least three or four times, oh, is that a fairway?
Because it ran all the way down the fairway and ran out of fairway and off the end. So I'll take those.
So, you know, you did. And that's the thing. Your drives that missed the fairway by 5 metres, not a second fairway like they do sometimes.
Yeah, and even my irons from sort of 150 out, there was a fair few that actually hit hold me pose looking at it going at the green, which again I haven't been able to do lately.
From your playing partner point of view, the thing I noticed was you didn't have that horrible shank that you just hit square of the wicket, the one that just goes square basically. You didn't have any of those real horrible. Just nothing shots that just cost you three more sort of thing.
And that's the thing. Like, I only played to my handicap, so I didn't shoot the lights out by any means, but it just...
Compared
to how I played lately, it just felt fantastic.
Maybe it felt good because I was so bad. Why can't we both on a... if you had the 90 when I had the 83, how good would it have felt? We both would have been magnificent.
Yeah, absolutely.
But having said I had 99, I remember saying 10 years ago, I will never break 100 again.
Yeah.
So I was lucky I could have had 110 today the way I was going. But
yeah, we were talking about maybe shooting. A lot of people talk about wanting to shoot their age in golf. Wheels aim rolls was not far shooting his weight.
Well, no, I've got plenty of room. I've got plenty of room to shoot my weight. I can have well into the hundreds. But how'd you go? 90, you shoot your weight or?
Under. About three shots under my weight.
All right.
Yep.
Well, you've got room to move too.
So I said at the start that I wanted to shoot 90. The last hole was the 18th was a par 5.
Pretty
and I was
long tough par 5 too.
Yes, and I was sitting on 85. I had to par it to have me 90. Smashed me drive down the middle.
You did too, you hit a ribbon drive.
Yep, and then come down to the one shot, me had a hybrid in, hit it about as well as I could hit it, up to the front of the green.
Sort of cut a bit of the corner off
over
the
tree.
And faded back into the middle of the fairway. Yeah, that was a good hit.
Yep. And then, Then I started thinking birdie. I'm thinking, oh, I'm breaking 90 here. Shorted me iron in the little wedge,
a little short.
But instead
of hitting the one sideways that you may have on a bad day, your miss was still very playable.
And then chipped on from there and made the putt for exactly 90. So I was pretty stoked with that. It's calling early that I wanted to shoot 90 and actually pulling it off. And not only that, taking rolls off the stick for heat.
Well, I'm claiming that's the first time you've ever beaten me off the stick. It's definitely the first time as a chili dipper.
I'll give you that. But
I reckon that because with the roundabout handicap system we've had, you've got me one or two times on the handicap. You've got me a few times on the handicap system, but they've always been close. But yeah, no, I reckon off the stick, straight up off the stick, I don't reckon you've ever got me. And like nine shots, there's nothing even close about today. You smashed me to bits.
And a few things happened for me today.
What else?
Beat you off the stick.
Yep, well done.
Play with the same ball all the way around. Did not lose a single ball.
I reckon that is definitely the first time I've seen you do that.
I don't do that very often.
No.
And mark down December 24th, 2017, as the day Luke Clark shortens up his backswing off the drive forever.
So that's forever.
That's forever, yep.
So even when we go out and hit with the big hitters and you get all
maybe
caught up
not,
and want to
chase but I'll let you know when I'm going to...
Well, the little caveat there could be, when you're playing by yourself, if you're in a team's event, maybe you can go full swing.
Yeah, well, like
or,
I said,
or
yeah.
Is it just across the board?
It's only going to be, I'm going back to the full swing when it's intentional. I'll be letting you know when I'm going back to that.
Well, look, I'll look forward to that.
Because I'm marking it down. It's a done deal.
Speaking of things we've marked down, is we took note of our lost and found balls. We mentioned that in about show 4 or 5 that we're going to take note of our lost and found balls and see how we ended up or down after a period of time.
Yep.
So we've got Black Bull from the podcast last week, where Luke lost 3 but found 2, and I lost 2, found 2. So I was even, but then today, Luke lost none.
Yes.
And found 1.
Found 1.
And I lost 1 but didn't find any. So the total so far is Luke's 3-3. And I've lost 3 and found 2, so I'm 1 down.
So you're 1 down, I'm even.
1 down, yep, and you're even. But that will have great changes over the course of the year. I think the numbers there will get bigger. The course today wasn't a lose
No, it wasn't. Yeah,
There was no real war. There's no real big.
Where did you lose that one ball? What was that on?
I can't even remember. No idea, but I did, but so be it. So how's that go? Overall course?
Yeah, look, I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest. Look, it's probably...
It was a typical country type course, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And fairly ranked, I think. Yeah, it's not going to blow you away. A couple of...
The clubhouse was great. The like where you'd have a beer and a meal and all that, that was a really good setup.
Yeah, yeah. Look, before we finish this golf course review, we've got a little thing going which we call...
Signature.
Holes. So did you take note? So I've got my what I think was a signature hole. I've written mine down. Did you?
Yes, I did. Yes, you for did? Sure. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I'll go first. Yep. I actually had hole 10 down as the signature hole. Wasn't a great hole by any means, but it was just a really, really high elevated tee box and sort of a bit of a dog leg left, wide fairway. Just had a really nice feel about it. There was no wow holes because there was no water. And that sort of stuff, a lot of just tree lines.
No great elevation either.
Yeah, that's right. So this was one of the, probably had the most elevation, and yep. That's why I give it my signature.
Well, that's funny. Well, I actually had 1 and 10, because they're both right near the clubhouse there, and they both did have the big elevated. And I like, one was a really short par 4.
Yeah, one
was,
yeah.
That
yeah,
if
one
you were a good driver, you could drive the green.
Oh, what was it? Yeah, it was only 2...
Well, I'm a bad driver, and I was only 10 metres short.
Yeah, it was 235 or something, wasn't it?
So, yeah, so that was great. Yeah, so I thought 1 and 10 were standouts just because of the view you got from the tee and the look at them and all that stuff. So you had 10, I had 1 and 10.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Very good. All right, well, that probably wraps up the course review part of this podcast. That's Cobb and Baruga done. We're pretty happy. And we'll move on to a new segment that I think we're going to start up. We're going to give a try to. One thing the people have been asking for, if you know Dave Rolston, you know he can be an angry fella. And he's very well known for his rants, mainly on the internet through blogging. And a lot of the people who know him have been asking us why, if you know, this is the perfect forum for Rolls to get stuff off his chest and make things right with the world. And today's probably a good day to do it because he's a little angry because he shot 144 today. So
144. I'm angry now.
So
well. You're right. Now that's right. I did used to do a blog, and it had some rant connotations to it. But I actually tried to mellow and ease up. But you've got to give the people what they want.
Yep.
And today I'm angry. All right. So do you want me to go? With
go.
Your rant?
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you another thing we've been accused of is not tackling the big topics.
Right.
I'm going to tackle the big topics. I'm taking on top of the tree. Taylor Swift.
All righto.
She has fucking made me angry.
Oh.
Now, I love it. And I love Taylor Swift. And we all did, didn't we? When she was a teenage girl, we could relate. Teardrops on my guitar about sitting at home crying about the boy or girl at school that didn't fall in love with you. And the same, the Tim McGraw song about how good teen love. It was relatable. It was fantastic. We loved it. Then she even grew up a bit. 22. How good was that? Catchy, fun tune. And what about that song Trouble? We all knew that girl that was Trouble when she walked in. And a lot, again, we could relate. Then she even grows up a bit more and we're growing with her. Shake It Off, having a bit of fun with herself, not taking herself too seriously. Then even that, she even become a woman. And songs like Style and Wildest Dreams, magnificent. But then she starts
she
taking
done?
Herself too seriously.
What has she done?
Look What You Made Me Do. Now, look what you like. Everyone's against her. You've made me do this. You've made me do. She started. She starts fighting with Katy Perry. We can't relate to that, can we? We love Katy Perry. Why would we be fighting with her? And that fucking gorgeous. Have you heard that? They're just crap, ordinary songs that don't work. They're unrelatable. And it's her taking herself way too seriously and blaming everyone else for her troubles. What troubles she's got? She's a 25-year-old gorgeous billionaire and everything's fucking against her. Taylor, have a look at yourself, get back to your roots and get it right.
Right, so the cheerleaders are putting a line through Taylor for now. She needs
until she smartens up,
sharpen up a little bit.
That's fair.
Yep. Oh, look, I'm happy. I'm happy to go with it.
Well, there you go. I'm feeling a bit better now. Good.
Good off your chest, so we can continue this pod, and you'll lighten up a little bit better.
Well, maybe not, but we'll see. Depends if you don't fucking sharpen up.
All right. Well, that's the Rolls around. That's the first time for the Chili Dippers, and we might continue that for a few more episodes in the future. Well, I think we better bring the mood back to something a little bit lighter here, and we're going to move on to one of our more regular segments called
Top
4. Ooh, come on
now.
All right. So, Rolls, you want to explain today's top four?
Yes, I do. Just firstly to Johnny Waller's and Waller's Jewelry still sponsoring Top Four, and that watch is still waiting for me to be picked up, but thank you. Today's Top Four is, if you could win any four sporting events in the world, what four sporting events would you win? And that means you can win one four times, one twice, one other twice, but you've got...
Team events? I can be any player on a team?
You can be the player in the team that wins, the main player, whatever you want.
All right, that changes it. Yep, okay.
You good to go? You want me to go or you?
You go first again.
All right.
Yep.
I have got, look, the pretty obvious one, too, the US Masters. That's my golf tournament to win.
Yep.
Not many Australians have won it. So well known. Gets you a lot of things bonus-wise, but cool thing to have. My next one is the heavyweight champion of the world.
I've got that too.
Oh, have you?
Yep.
Wow, just unify the title, bring the heavyweight title back to respectability, that sort of stuff. And, you know, if you're heavyweight champion of the world, you're the man. Yeah, so there, that was one.
Yep.
Another one is the 100-metre final at the Olympics.
I didn't even think of that one.
Imagine
a white
Australian man winning the 100 at the Olympics.
Weighing 110 kilos.
I'd probably trim. I sort of nearly thought decathlon for a while because it's...
You got that right. I didn't think of that.
Win the 100.
Well done.
And the other one is Wimbledon. Wimbledon? Wimbledon?
I don't know what sport that is.
Wimbledon.
There you go.
Yeah. Win Wimbledon. I can't say it, can I? Well, funnily enough, that actually reminds me of a story when I was playing tennis I was playing tennis with Nick Morris. Do you know Nick?
Yeah, I know him. Yep. Shout out to Nick.
Nick's a great mate of ours. He had an accident when he was about 16, broke his back, he's been in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He's an Olympic champion, though, at basketball. Hasn't let it stop him. No worries at all. One day, Nick and I were having a hit of tennis. They play tennis. It's double bounce for them, so on and so on. We're just at the bar reserve having a hit of tennis, having a bit of fun. Shane Flynn, do you know Flynny?
Yes, shout out to Flynny.
Drives by with his girlfriend at the time, who I don't think he's with anymore, but she was she might have been a lovely girl, we'll see. Drives by and says to Flynny, oh, is that Dave, whatever? And Flynny says, yeah. And she goes, yeah, I never thought he was all there. Because I was playing tennis with a bloke in a wheelchair, she thought there was something wrong with me. And that brought me back to earth. You're getting about thinking you're not a bad fella and all that. And Flynny tells me his missus thought, yeah, I always thought he was retarded. But, so if I win, I win Wimbledon, I'll stick it right up her.
I didn't see that coming.
All right, so go with your four.
All right. Okay, leading it off, I think whether you count this as sport or not, I'd like to win the World Series of Poker.
I'll give you that.
I think that'd be my number one.
It's an event, so yeah that'll do. Yeah. Now, again, is that because you love poker? Because it's a huge prize money?
Both.
It's the poker more than the money for you, isn't it?
Yeah, cool. Absolutely is, yep. Super Bowl, provided I'm the quarterback. Am I only playing for anyone in particular?
No.
So
you don't want one of the big famous teams or a team that's never been successful?
Oh, if I had to pick it, probably Cowboys maybe.
Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Dallas Cowboys quarterback Super Bowl. That's pretty cool. Yep.
And look, I think I was actually, if I wasn't born with curly size hands, I could have been a quarterback.
Yeah, you've got to be able to hang onto the ball, though. Yeah, you're not letting
give me a small football and
balls.
I can whiz that thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
My third one, I had heavyweight champion as well, just because
that's just... Really? Imagine if me and you... let's not discuss that.
And I've got... What does that stand for?
World Accounting Championship?
No, it is World Acapella Championships.
Oh, the pitch perfect.
Yeah, because I'd always love to be able to sing. I don't hold many... a lot of talent as well. I'd give it every little bit of talent I've got to be able to sing really good, and that would guarantee that I could.
I was just about to bust into. I couldn't even think of a song to bust into.
So give me the World Acapella.
Wow, good obscure championship.
I'm assuming there is a World Acapella Championship.
Oh, the girls on Pitch Perfect say there is.
Made a movie of it. Yeah. So that's our top four done for this year. Might actually be our last top four for 2018.
Yep, beautiful. Well done. Thank you.
Rightio, you know what time it is, Rolls.
Is it really?
It is. We're moving on to your favourite segment, which is...
Welcome to Question Time.
So today, we've got a couple of questions.
Before we get into question time...
Yes.
As you know, I'm a big fan of the Chili Dippers studio here. you build it in a wind tunnel? What's going on? It doesn't look. It sounds like there's a whistle. Did you build bricks into the whistles into the bricks?
I just think it's the shape of that. Look, it is pretty windy outside, and a few windows are open. And I think it's actually the skillion roof.
Would the mics be picking that up?
No, not at all. Well, no,
people won't care then.
No,
but for not at all. Here, it's whistling like nobody's business. Sorry about that. All right, I've got a question. Or do you want to go with yours?
Yeah, we'll go with yours. You start.
Again, mine's from New Zealand. I get a few New Zealand questions.
Yes.
Mine's from a young lad. He might not care if I say his name or not. His name's Sean Severite. Shout out to you, Sean. Now, Sean's question is, I've gone overseas to South America and met one of the most gorgeous women in the world and fallen in love. What's my next step? Do I bring her home? Do I go back? How do we go about that? Now, a bit of background with Sean. Different if you're a dumb, fat, ugly bastard who can't get a woman to talk to you. Sean's a good-looking lad who goes all right. So he goes pretty well. But he has met this girl and he sent me a photo of, and she's the most stunning, beautiful Argentine girl you're ever going to meet in your life. And she's madly in love with Sean. And Sean, he wants some advice. He's only a kid. He wants some advice on how to go about this. Luke, you might be able to speak from first-hand experience.
I've got a little bit of experience with this.
What would you advise Shawnee to do?
Run.
Really?
100% of the times I've met someone overseas and brought them back, it hasn't worked out very well.
Oh, wow. All right.
I'm not going to go into great detail about that. Maybe I just chose the wrong one. But it is hard to bring someone back from overseas into your world where they don't know anybody.
All right. She's she's a very friendly, attractive young lady.
So he's just gone over on holidays, met this girl on holidays, home.
Yep, he did a 4 or 5 week tour of South America.
Yeah, okay. It all depends on the situation, the work situation. Can she move country easily for work?
I don't think she's a doctor or lawyer by any means. I think she's more of a housekeeper, secretary type setup.
Yeah, look, it's a touchy, tough subject for me to answer because if people that know me well know I've been in that situation and it definitely did not work out very well at all.
Yeah, yep.
And we might have a Luke's rant on Shawnee.
I think Shawnee's pretty young too, so he's got plenty of time.
Yeah, look, I don't think he needs to be messing with it. I think
stay away.
Stay away.
Shawnee,
stay away.
Hope we've helped you out there, mate.
Okay, I've got another question. Hopefully not as serious as that one.
I've got to learn to control that. We've got to be serious every now and again. We're wise enough to help a young kid in that situation.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
Good.
Okay, this question. This person's actually already sent a question in, but I didn't see this one last time, so I'm going to read it out. This is from Ian Haywood.
Shout out, Dean.
He wants to know, has there ever been a shot you've done or personally witnessed where something totally ridiculous, miraculous or outrageous happened that can only be believed if seen?
Yeah, you want to start us
off here, Ross?
I've got one for that. So I'm playing golf in Brisbane with, I think I was with Yogi and Spider and Stringer, because no one up there has got a real name. And we've hit our balls down the middle and wherever, and we're in the bush about 200 down from the tee looking for a bloke's ball. So we're generally facing away from the tee box. The group behind us has hit, and as the ball's coming to us, he's yelled out, four, as you do, and it's coming straight for Spider. Spider has turned around, picked up the flight of the ball, swung his golf club like a cricket bat playing a hook shot, and hit it as clean as a whistle.
You couldn't
do that in a million years. Now, Spider was a reasonably talented footballer and cricketer and all that sort of stuff, and the hand-eye coordination, to even just, when you're on the course, you can't even really pick him up in flight, let alone be coordinated to swing the club like a cricket bat.
I can't hit it off the ground when the ball's still.
Yeah, well, so this is flying at him from 200 metres away, and he flushed it. That's about the most amazing thing I've seen on a golf course. Is that what we're after?
That's perfect. Mine's a little bit different. Mine's actually not a shot. Well, it involves a shot. I was playing Jubilee on the 18th hole at Jubilee with my brother. He's teed his ball up. I'm standing 6-7 metres directly behind him. I'm in that pose where you've got your club on your right hand, you're using as a balancing walking stick, holding it out, and your legs across. So you're standing up, just leaning on your club.
Oh.
You picture him?
Yeah, we've got you.
Adam's hit his drive, and he's using one of those big, long plastic tees with the rubber tips.
Yep.
The tees come rotating head over tip, flying back at me at 100 miles an hour. I didn't move a single part of my body except my thumb and index finger that was resting on the club of the stick, and it just went ding and stuck in my finger. And I didn't move. I mean, I didn't even look at it. I was still looking at Adam, and I was sitting there, and Adam's looking around and going, on the ground going, have you seen me tee? I said, yep, it's right here. Like, it come at me like it was in slow motion and just stuck. Nothing moved.
That is magnificent. That's from... Sorry if you finished.
Because
that's reminded me. Like, and I'm not overly cool or don't go that well with the women, right? I was courting a young lass at some stage.
Preach.
What? Sorry, what did you say?
Preach. That's telling the truth.
Yeah. So this is a while back. I was courting a young lady. And these two things happened in the one day that we were driving around. She was driving, and her purse was on her dashboard of a car. We've gone round a roundabout. Her purse has flown out the window. I've stuck my hand out and caught it midair, out the window as we're going round a roundabout, and give it back to her as cool as catch it. Like, and how well am I going here? Right? And we were going. This is that long ago. We were driving to McDonald's in Albury because Wangaratta didn't have a McDonald's, and it was also back where they had little tin foil ashtrays were still on the tables in McDonald's.
Imagine that.
Right, so it's that long ago. So I've had a bite of my cheeseburger. I've pulled out the little gherkin bit and just casually flicked it two tables over. It's landed flush in the middle of a tin foil ashtray, and the ashtray's just slid across to the edge of the table and balanced. Like, my God, I am killing it today. If this chick doesn't go for me, she's got no idea. And apparently she had no idea. But then, so that one. That were two of the coolest things I've ever done, and that nothing.
Must have been a while ago.
Yeah, a while ago.
Was she wearing a monocle?
She may have been monocled up. But that reminded me of your catch there, so I just thought I'd mention those.
So I think that...
What was that, question time?
That's question time.
Hey, what time are we at?
We're at pushing 26 minutes. We've still got some time to fill.
Ah, short and sharp, done.
What, as in finish the podcast?
No,
we've got plenty of time to go, you lazy bastard.
My boss said to me the other day, he goes, you're that lazy, your fire alarm would have a snooze button on it. But what segment are we doing? What are we doing?
We're going to try something new. We've done one before, which we called Would You Rather. And now we're going to try something along the same lines. We might make this a little bit more regular. It's called...
What's Better?
What's Better?
What's better? Steamed or fried? Kylie or Danny? Chicken or beef? All right, what's better, all right? How about now, as I said, we're a golf show, we're reasonably travel-based, so mm-hmm. I'm going to do a geography-based what's better. All right, so I've got some questions here. I'll fire them at you. You tell me what's better.
Right. Sure.
Right, question one, Melbourne, Sydney or Brisbane?
Melbourne.
I normally answer that question if you could move Melbourne to where Brisbane is.
Yeah,
Melbourne's a better city, but June, July in Brisbane is unbeatable. When the winter's there, if I won enough Tats Lotto to move to one place, not both, I'm going to Brisbane.
Yeah, look, that's fair enough. Like, it goes back to that old saying, like, Sydney's prettier, but Melbourne's the girl you marry.
Yeah, when they say Sydney's the girlfriend you have for a weekend, Melbourne's the one you marry and live with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that sums it up. It's hard to say just which is better. Like, yeah.
We're hard to say.
I'm switching. Brisbane.
All right, there we go. Two, Paris or Rome? Doesn't matter if you've been there or not, you know anyway.
Rome.
Yep, same tea. The food. And Italians. Italians are fantastic. Magnificent people. I'm the same, Rome. All right. We've got the USA, East Coast or West Coast?
Oh, just so you know. So gee whiz.
East Coast, we're talking... New York, Philly, Boston, Washington.
Yep.
West Coast, we're talking Seattle, LA, San Fran, San Diego.
Vegas, does Vegas slip in?
No, Vegas, I know. I made a direct call that Vegas doesn't slip in.
I'm going East Coast.
I'm going in summer
and it's East Coast.
Oh, well, I'm going East Coast too because New York is that much better than all the others. Yeah. If New York was out... You go West Coast, but we're with New York in. All right, four, city or bush?
Bush.
Yeah, I'm city.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. And this one, I might think I know it. Yeah, snow or beach?
Beach.
You're the beach. You love the snow.
Yeah, I love them both, but I'll take the beach.
Couldn't be more clear cut for me. I am beach or it's snow. It's cold. Fuck. I don't need to go to the snow.
And outside your comfort zone.
Comfort zone shit on. That's no good. There we go. What's better? Done.
I want to add one.
Okay, all right.
I want to add one because this is golf related.
All right.
What's better, 5-putt or a windy?
I sort of say what's worse.
Yeah. So if we're going out tomorrow, what's more embarrassing?
I reckon a windy is worse.
Now
I'd prefer to 5-putt than have a windy.
Now the reason I'm asking this question is because a long time ago at Jubilee this happened to me on Rolls.
We had a 5-putt on the first, didn't
we? Rolls 5-putt. Now I should really reword the question. What's worse or more embarrassing? A 5-putt on the flattest, easiest green on the planet?
No, Jubilee, that first. No, we were at Waldara on the first.
No, it was Jubilee.
No, I thought it was the first at Waldara.
100% Jubilee.
Yeah, Jubilee is flat because the one at Waldara isn't. The one at Waldara is not flat.
And not that this really changed, but my windy, the ball was under a tree branch and it was an awkward swing. Not that I haven't had windies. And I think windy.
You shouldn't miss it when it's still. You shouldn't miss the ball. Yeah. Anyway, you can have five putts can happen. Yeah, I reckon a 5-putt's more acceptable.
Well, see, my argument at the time was, because we argue about this, what was worse. My argument was I could take my girlfriend out or ex-girlfriend out that hasn't played golf ever and she would windy 100 times but wouldn't 5-putt. Like, because I reckon 5-putt's and the way you did it too. Normally when you're 3-putt, like it's a long first putt, you leave it short, way too short, and then you miss it. I think all 5 went past the hole.
It might have been the day I decided I'm not leaving them short anymore.
It was quite comical.
Yeah. Look, it was a disaster. Yeah, I remember. It was the horror.
Thing is, even when you picked it up, you didn't even just picked it up like it was nothing and walked to the next team box.
Hoping you didn't notice.
It just got away from me.
Got away from me, but
so I just wanted to chat then because that's something I want other people to write in and let us know what's actually worse. What's more embarrassing, a 5-putt or windy?
Didn't have this windy, but what about if you're on the first tee, the ball's teed up?
I did it at Kingston Heath.
You're going to drive down the middle and you have a big, clear windy.
In the Kingston Heath debacle, the 4-point, I had a full on with the ball teed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, so I reckon that's worse than
yeah,
a
that's
five.
Worse. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we've got nowhere there, so that's good.
Now I think we can leave it there. We're at 32 minutes and we've done enough now. All right, so we're going to sign off here. So for those people who haven't already, jump on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate that. Send us some more. We need some more questions out there, so if you can write us in at thechilidippers@gmail.com again, we would appreciate that. And other than that, I think we'll wrap this podcast up.
Yeah, tell your friends. Get everyone to listen. I think you should get them on board.
Righto. Chili Dippers out.
Suck.
I'm driving down the highway, headed to the range. Gonna knock them out strong, but I'm feeling no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back. Where the grass don't grow, gonna take a few hacks. That's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Chad Rich, yelling at the TV. You have enough. Couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash.